Hello, boys and girls, and welcome back to episode 7 of Nerd Out Sanctuary. I don't know why I keep saying boys and girls. It's not like actual boys and girls watch this. They're a bunch of grown adults. God damn it. This isn't a kid-friendly show. These are fucking, I'm saying, dropping F-bombs and shit. Nah, this is definitely not a kid show. So, I don't know what. I don't know what I'm going to start the show. I'm probably going to keep doing that. But, you know, whatever. Okay. Shit's going on here. I'm kind of doing my own thing. I got a new mic, if you can't tell. It sounds a little bit different. I hope it sounds better. It's definitely a better quality mic than my last one. It is what it was, you know. It was a good starter mic and stuff like that, but I don't know. I really wanted to upgrade my audio quality, because when I was listening to my podcast in the car, it was just not great. So hopefully this is a little bit better without, you know, absolutely breaking the bank. You know, I'm not paying $400 fucking dollars for a fucking microphone. I mean, come on, guys. Like, I don't have that kind of money yet. I mean, Jesus. But yeah, hopefully this mic sounds a little bit better. Sorry I haven't gotten an episode out in a bit. I think it's been like 2 weeks. A lot of shit's been going on. I moved out of the house, so I'm in my apartment right now. So I'm still trying to set up maybe a set where I can actually film and record videos. I still don't have that set up yet. I got my camera, so I'm gonna hopefully play with that and play with myself as well. I'm playing with that, probably. I'm not gonna do that, or maybe, I don't know, but we'll see where it goes. But I'm gonna try to learn how to use that a little bit, you know, get familiar with the equipment, and hopefully I'll be coming back with a video, like an actual episode, and I think it's going to be a little bit special. I'm going to try something a little bit different, something special to me. So look out for that. But from now, it's just, hopefully you keep enjoying these just audio podcasts. If you're not, if this is your first time listening, this is Nerd Out Sanctuary. I'm Michael, your host. I just talk about nerdy shit, stuff that I like, you know, some entertainment, movies, TV, video games, comics and novels sprinkled here and there, you know. Mainly movies and television, though, because that's probably, it's the easiest to cover. But I mean, again, I'm going to be talking video games and comic books whenever they're relevant, because I'm highly, and I love both. And, you know, again, novels a little bit less so, but they're there. I'm in my new apartment. You know, I moved. I have a roommate, so if he comes home and he comes in here and makes a racket at the end of this episode, I apologize in advance. I apologize. I don't know exactly when he gets home from work, but I know I get home and before him. So I decided I'm gonna record an episode, because it's been a while and I've seen some shit that I want to talk about. So yeah, I mean, I guess without further ado, I say we just get into this fucking episode. You know, I can give you more updates on what's going on with the channel in future episodes, because I'm going to try to get back to a weekly schedule. Again, don't expect a timely release for every single one of my episodes. It is what it is. I'm gonna try to upload weekly, but you know, sometimes I'm gonna miss, because shit's happening, and this is not my only thing that I have to do. I mean, this is just what I want to do. This is just a hobby for me. Like, this is not an actual career. I'm just doing this for fun, because I love talking about movies and TV and video games and shit like that. And it's me cracking my knuckles, by the way, if you can hear that. Sorry, there's like an echo as well. I hear an echo, but I might try to do something with that. Hopefully you can absorb some more sound, maybe. But yeah, I'm looking around. That's why. Again, it's kind of a nice mic. It's the Blue Yeti, if you wanted to know that. But anyway, okay, let's get into this fucking episode. Like, what the fuck am I doing here? I need to get into this episode. So, start off, this is going to be a little different, because I haven't talked any anime on this podcast yet, and I am into it. I'm not like incredibly well versed in the whole anime scene. I've seen like the major ones like Attack on Titan, and I'm watching Full Metal Alchemist right now. Stuff like that that I'll probably talk a little bit later. I mean, I've seen Akira, the film, Ghost in the Shell. I've seen Cowboy Bebop. I haven't even finished Cowboy Bebop, so I should probably do that sometime. But what I'm going to be talking about today is the first season of One Punch Man, which is relatively newer, I believe. Let me look that up exactly when it came out. One Punch... 2015, first season. So I know the second season is on Hulu, but it's not dubbed yet. I watched the first season subbed when it first came out. I think I watched it with a friend. Shout out to Jake, who actually showed me the show, and I rewatched it dubbed, and I want to talk about it. So if you're not familiar with One Punch Man, it's based off a manga, which is a Japanese comic. And it's turned into an anime. It's a show, TV show. So if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of, I think it takes place like, in modern day in some random fucking scene. It doesn't even really fucking matter when it takes place or where it really takes place. It doesn't really matter. But in the universe, superheroes and supervillains, like super powered, like beings exist. And they vary in power level and threat level depending on if it's, you know, if you're a superhero or not. So if you have superhuman powers, you can actually become a registered superhero, and this entails like taking an extensive exam, and then depending on your power level, they put you into a class, like a superhero class. And there's class C, class B, class A, and class S. Class S being the most powerful ones, and class C being the weakest. So, and also in the universe, there's also threat levels. Threat level midnight. Shout out to The Office. But these threat levels, there's wolf, tiger, demon, dragon, and god. Wolf threat is like threat to children, weaker people, not that many people. Tiger threatens a greater number of people. Threat level demon threatens an entire city, and if you actually see the show, these cities are pretty fucking big. Dragon, threatens multiple cities, and threat level god threatens the survival of humanity. In a world where humanity is at stake, one man will punch him in the dick. What the fuck is this podcast? I don't know what I'm doing, but anyway. So, yeah, that's kind of the world this story takes place in, and we follow this main character named Saitama, who's our main character, and he is a superpowered person, and his superpower is being able to defeat anything in one punch. So no matter how powerful they really are, he hits them with one punch, and they just get eviscerated, like just absolutely obliterated, evaporated, whatever the fuck you want to call it. They get destroyed, okay? Defeats him in one punch, and he actually, well, you'll see how he got that way, which is actually kind of hilarious. This show has some of the best action scenes I've ever seen in an anime, and it's also one of the funniest animes I've ever seen. So it's like an action comedy. If that's your thing, definitely check this one out. It's really hilarious. Some of the side characters, I don't really remember too much other than the main side character, which is who's usually with Saitama. His name is Genos, or whatever you pronounce it. He is a cyborg who actually meets Saitama and actually fights him, and then after he realizes how powerful Saitama is, he immediately wants Saitama to train him and become his master, and it's actually pretty hilarious to teach him how to like get his this great power. And the dynamic between the two is really great. I love Genos, and he's probably the most empathetic character of the story because he's like that guy. Like he's incredibly powerful. Like when he does take that superhero registration exam, spoiler, he does get put in the class S, which is the most powerful. He's never really powerful enough, and he's never as powerful as Saitama. So that's always kind of fun to watch and to see, like Genos, like actually progress as a character and learn that him and Saitama are. That's the best parts of the show. I mean, again, it's the first season, so I'm gonna get to know these characters a lot more once I watch it more. I should probably read the manga. I hear it's really great. I mean, I'm guessing it's really great because it got turned into an anime. So, yeah, I'm excited to see the second season. But so there's some other side characters that are pretty hilarious and great. Moo Man Rider is really funny. He's like a C-class villain. He's pretty inspirational, but is also really funny. He's just some random dude riding on a bike and goes around and like tries to fight the biggest guys. It's hilarious. Throws his bike at him. The bad guys are really interesting. Again, the art designs of every character looks incredibly unique, which adds a whole new element to the show, which I really enjoyed and makes it more watchable, more enjoyable. I'm kind of blanking on the word there, but I liked it. Just the aesthetic of every character, it was definitely my thing for sure. But like I said, if action's your thing, definitely check this one out because the action scenes are really awesome. Like, they're really cool. They're totally worth watching. If you're not even into the humor aspect of the show, which is really good, pokes a lot of fun at the superhero genre. That's another thing. Like, it came out at the, like, right time, 2015 especially. That's kind of, like, prime what? I mean, Avengers came out in 2012, but yeah, I think that's kind of like what the second Avengers movie came out at that point. I mean, you got these Marvel movies coming out, and like it's kind of poking fun at that and how kind of ridiculous it kind of is. It's like one of those superhero type of satire type deals. Also, being an actual superhero, it's something different with the superhero genre, which you don't really get too often, which is nice. And it's about a dude who can kill things in one punch, which is just makes it even more hilarious. But anyway, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of anime, so I don't have this like rich knowledge of other anime to compare it to. But if you're like me and you've kind of dabbled a little bit in the anime scene, check this one out. You'll really enjoy it. I mean, I found it on Hulu. I know it's available on Hulu. The dubbed and subbed version of season one's on there. And the subbed version of season two's on there. I haven't gotten around to watching that. I have to be in the mood to really watch dubbed anime. Like, I've only done that a couple times. I did that with, One Punch when it first came out because a friend just showed me. Shout out to you, Jake, again. And I think I watched Attack on Titan when it was subbed because that show was great. But I haven't done it too much. I mean, it's animation, so I want to see it. Like, I want to see the animation. And when you're trying to focus on reading subtitles, and sometimes they go a little bit fast, especially if there's a lot of dialogue, it kind of gets annoying, just becomes a kind of a chore, and you miss a lot of stuff. It's just what you have to get with watching foreign films, which I will also be talking about another foreign film later in this, and we'll do an in-depth review of that. Well, sort of in-depth. But, One Punch Man. Would recommend. Probably will watch again, to be honest. It's very rewatchable. It's just it's an easily digestible show, too. You know, you understand exactly what's going on. You love the characters. The action's fucking sweet. It's funny. It's not one of those, like, you know, kind of can kind of be difficult to watch, but you have to be in, like, the right mindset to watch. So I would definitely check it out. You'll have a lot of fun watching it. I'll guarantee that. You'll have a lot of fun watching One Punch Man for sure. No doubt. So anyway, moving on to probably a bigger topic. I think it was this past weekend? No, 2 weekends ago. I was gonna actually record a podcast for this, but I just never got around to it. But 2 weeks ago, I saw Parasite, that Bong Joon-ho film, the guy who did Snowpiercer and Okja and The Host. Yeah, I saw Parasite, that really critically acclaimed foreign film that's nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars. Yeah, that one. And yeah, I saw it by myself again because I have no friends that want to see these movies with me. Or who am I? Why am I lying to myself? I have no friends. I mean, let's just all be honest. I have no friends. I'm going to cry in my sleep later. I'm going to cry myself to sleep because I have no friends. Anyway, getting back to Parasite. So, let me just tell you, like, about Bong Joon-ho for a second, and discuss his filmography for a little bit as I look him up. Come on, one of these days. Oh, I'm sorry if I keep pausing. There's only me, okay? I'm the sole person who has to keep talking for these podcasts, okay? Just give me a fucking break, all right? All right? Chill the fuck out. So, before Parasite, he did, obviously, I think his biggest one's probably Snowpiercer. And I'm pretty sure that was his biggest one. That was probably the most, I guess, most grossing, probably? I don't know. But that's the one that I like the most out of him. I've seen Snowpiercer, I've seen Okja. I haven't seen The Host, which I hear is really good. And I'll probably tell you now, after seeing Parasite, I think I have a new favorite of his. I mean, Snowpiercer is phenomenal, and if you haven't seen Snowpiercer, watch Snowpiercer. I thought Okja was okay. I liked it. It was interesting, definitely an interesting watch. I hear The Host is really good. I think the similar actor from The Host is actually in this. Yeah, Kang Ho Song. I'm sorry if I'm butchering their names. I suck. I'm an American, okay? I can't read. So, yeah, there's that. And I'm sniffing again. I don't know why. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, okay, Parasite. Let's get into this. So, what is Parasite about, you say? What is it about? Well, it's about a poverty-ridden family that's kind of definitely lower class. They're all employed. There's four members of the family. There's a son, daughter, mother, and a father. They're struggling to get by here. They're even, like, you know, going to their, like, deep, like, corners of their house to, like, bum Wi-Fi off of the next nearest coffee shop or restaurant or whatever the fuck they're trying to do. Like, they have literally nothing, and they're struggling. They can't find any jobs, so they're struggling. But for some, like dumb luck, the son, through his connection with his one friend who tutors, this rich family's daughter, he tutors her, and I guess he's going away to college or something, and so he offers his friend, one of the members of this family that's, like, poverty-ridden, to help tutor her in, I think, English, I'm pretty sure, like an English tutor. So, and he gets hired. He gets hired as a tutor, and then throughout the film, throughout some really clever and kind of manipulative ways, he gets, like, his entire family ends up working for this one rich family. Like, somehow it happens. And once that happens, shit goes well and then kind of turns. Shit happens. I'm trying to not to spoil anything here because I don't want to spoil anything about this movie. You just need to see it. Go out and see it now. It's really great. I mean, you can tell by the tone of my voice and me telling you to go see it that I really loved it. I really did. It was really great. It's so different because these characters, like this family is so, they're so likable because they're so goddamn smart about the way they go about doing this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're survivors, so therefore they have to be really smart in their survival tactics, and that kind of makes them a little bit like, you know, they scheme and they're kind of conniving towards this one rich family that is kind of naive and ignorant to the fact that these, you know, people exist because they're not they don't interact with them like at all on a daily basis. So, yeah. So it's really interesting to see how they get hired from this rich family, even though they're taking advantage of them. Like, you root for them, even though they're kind of being shitty, but like they're also doing it to survive. So it's like they are likable. I mean, this rich family is really not that likable, but I mean, yeah, it's pretty, yeah. It's really great. It's a dark comedy. It's for sure kind of a dark comedy. It's at least the first half is, and then this tonal shift happens, and it like becomes this like thriller horror almost. It's like, whoa! It goes from dark comedy / heist film almost to a horror / thriller, and you're like, whoa, this took a turn for the worse. Holy shit. Okay, this is what we're doing. Damn. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of Fargo-esque, if you think about it. You know, these, like, normal people kind of get put in these, like, extraordinary situations because of decisions that they made for usually financial gain, whether, you know, morally good or not. Like, this is kind of what, like, shit just hits the fan, and they kind of just, like, it's either go big or go home. Like, there's no going back now. We got to commit to this decision, so like we're going down with this ship, I guess. And yeah, that's kind of what, like, I thought of Fargo a lot, and Fargo is very, like, has that dark comedy aspect to it as well as this film, too. Like, this film was surprisingly really funny. Like, I had myself laughing. I'm, like, reading subtitles while watching it. I mean, sometimes I'm, like, the only one. I was, like, the only one laughing in the theater. But, I mean, it kind of made me feel a little bit special because it's like, oh, I got the joke. Fucking normies. These goddamn basic moviegoers. Fucking evolve as a moviegoer. Stop staring at your goddamn fucking phone and watch the goddamn fucking movie. I swear to fucking God, I'm gonna rip your fucking face off. Like, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry for that violent rant. That was weird. That's like one of my pet peeves, though. Like, if you're in a movie theater, like, just put your goddamn phone away. Like, no one, like, whatever you got, whatever message, whatever call, you can wait. Or if you really have to take it, step out and then take it. All right, the fucking big ass fucking phone screen is incredibly bright. Even if the brightness is turned down all the way, I can still fucking see your phone, and I'm still taken out of the film that I paid $12 to see. All right, stop it. Get the fuck out of the theater, or I'll fucking throw you out. Anyway, so back to Parasite. I think the director, Bong Joon-ho, does a masterful job. I feel like this is it. Like, this is the peak. This is the best film he's probably made, for sure. Just, like, directing. Like, not every director can pull off a tonal shift like he does in this film. Like, it's hard to do when, like, you're taking, like, when your film is one film in the beginning, and then completely turns it and does a whole 180 and turns into another film. Like, it's hard to get the, it's it's definitely a challenge to get the audience on board and to really understand what's going on and what you're going for. And I think he succeeds wholeheartedly in this endeavor. And plus, there's definitely a lot of symbolism in the film as well. I mean, again, I don't really want to get into spoilers, but okay, small spoiler, there's a big storm, like torrential downpour, and a flood occurs, and this is kind of when shit hits the fan. You know, shit doesn't hit the fan because of the rainstorm, but the rainstorm kind of reflects shit hitting the fan, you know? Like, again, I don't want to really get into it, but, like, think about it. Think about the symbolism while you're watching, because I know I missed a lot, but that was the one thing that I did catch, and, like, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, oh my god, that was amazing. This film is one of those films that the more you think about it, the better it gets, and that's a sign of a really special film, for sure. That's why it's topping everyone's list of the best of the year, and it probably would for me, too. I mean, yeah, it'll probably be either number one or number two favorite films of the year, for sure. I mean, up there with Joker and 1917 for one of the best films of the year, for sure. It was really good. It was really good. Like, think about it even more now. I'm even liking it even more now talking about it. Like, it's one of those. So, and that's really special. It's going to be a film that people are going to go back to and probably discover new things about it, like, the more you watch it as well. And you're going to love it even more. And I think it's definitely going to, even if it doesn't, like, win any awards, it doesn't even fucking matter, because I fucking remember it, and I probably will end up watching it again, because it was really good. It really was. It's top-notch in pretty much any category. Sorry. Directing, acting. I mean, the shots that he pulls off. There's, like, one particular shot that's, like, really fucking creepy and scary, and you're like, holy fuck, I was not prepared for that shot, bro. Like, stop it. Like, holy shit. But, really good. Really great. Like, really. Does an incredible job. Like, bravo to Bong Joon-ho. Like, well done, sir. Like, holy shit. Like, really good. Yeah, I mean, I can't really find too many criticisms with the film, other than I know, like, while all these members of the family are working, like, they all have these jobs for this rich family, and yet they still live in this shitty ass house. Like, I didn't really understand that. Like, you had four incomes. Like, Can't you afford another place? Like, is there another place that you guys can buy? Like, I don't understand why you guys are really struggling so much. I mean, again, I guess time lapses a little bit. You kind of have to pay attention a little bit more. Maybe I just missed it. I mean, again, when it's a foreign film and I have to read subtitles and also try to pay attention to, like, the story and everything and what's going on screen, you're going to miss a lot of stuff. And plus, some stuff gets lost in translation when you're, you know, retranslating the actual dialogue that was in Korean, I'm guessing, because he's a Korean film director, right? Yeah, South Korea. But, yeah. Yeah, I could have missed that, but that was just, like, the one thing that kind of came away. It was like, I don't really understand why you're still living there when you have four incomes. Like, I mean, Jesus. But anyway, yeah, can't really find too much wrong with it. I mean, mostly everything about the film is really great. It deserves any awards that it'll get. I guarantee you it's going to win Best Foreign Film. At least it should. If it doesn't, I'm going to be like, okay, well, why do I even give a fuck about the Oscars? There's no point in even actually giving a shit about the Oscars, because they don't mean fucking jack shit. No one cares. Ricky Gervais said it pretty accurately. No one gives a fuck about your goddamn award. They care about your movies, because that actually affects them. But again, it's always good to, you know, give some acknowledgement to greatness, you know, and this film is really great. It's really great. Does it earn Mikey's movie magic, though? Does it earn Mikey's movie magic? Oh yeah, it does. It's definitely, yeah. It has the movie magic. It's got the movie magic. It's got that movie magic, guys. Go out and see it. It's pretty good. It's pretty goddamn good. Yeah, I would recommend it. If you're a fan of like, if you're a fan of Fargo, definitely go see it. If you're a fan of like dark comedies, see it. If you like those like really intense experiences, definitely go see it. It gets pretty intense, especially at the end, for sure. It gets pretty intense. Yeah, if you're kind of looking for a little bit more like, I don't know, like if you're looking for that like hidden meaning, like metaphorical type symbolism type of shit in your films, like go see it. Again, I would recommend it to pretty much everyone. Like, it's definitely a film that everyone could go see. I mean, maybe not your kids, your children, but like, it's all tastes. It's a really good one. I would definitely check this one out. Try if it comes to a theater near you, go see it. Even if you're not into like foreign films and kind of turn you off, and you have to be in the right mood, like I am, but like be in the right mood for this one because you don't want to miss this one. This one's really good. It's if not the best film of the year, it's one of the best of 2019. Go see it. But even with that topic of like foreign films and all that, I kind of want to talk about just, you know, being open-minded and open to trying new things. And like, obviously, if you've been listening to this episode, I've talked about an anime and a South Korean foreign film. You know, both of them not, you know, Hollywood and American based at all. You know, they're both Asian. There's an Asian episode. But yeah, I mean, I used to be one of those guys like, oh, I don't want to watch anime. Like, I don't want to watch that. That's fucking stupid. And there's, you know, all that. I don't know why I had that opinion. I honestly couldn't tell you why I had that opinion. And like, same way with foreign films. It's like, I don't want to fucking watch a fucking, I don't want to read. I don't want to fucking read when I watch a movie. That's the whole point of watching a movie, so I don't have to fucking read. Such an American basic attitude. But I got introduced to some stuff, you know. Like anime, it's like it's dubbed, so it's like okay, so I don't have to read subtitles. And then, you know, I got, you know, I heard so much great shit. I mean, again, it was always kind of, it was kind of the times as well, because these animes got really big, and you know, people kept talking about it. I was like, oh, fine, fucking fine, I'll check it out, you know. Oh, excuse me. And you know, I watched Attack on Titan, got really into anime, and I'm not like incredibly into it like some people, but like, yeah, it's definitely really, there's some really special anime out there. It's really great. There's some really great stories, and that's kind of what you miss out on when you're closed-minded like I was, and not anymore. Like I watch foreign films, especially the South Korean film industry. Like, there's some really, really good movies, like really intense ones. You know, like Old Boy is another one that's really good. If you want to be fucked up for a bit, like watch that one. Yeah, everyone who's watched Old Boy, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, holy fuck, that ending, Jesus. But yeah. Like, you miss out on a lot when you're closed-minded like I was, and you know, not willing to try new things. That doesn't even just go for anime and foreign films. Like, that goes for anything, like a genre, like horror movies. Like, a lot of people that I know are just not into horror movies, and I'm like, oh man, you're fucking missing out, because there's a lot of really good movies, especially coming out recently. Like, horror movies are like really on the rise. They, like, I don't know, they took a turn. And like, I mean, you still have those really shitty January like slasher movies that are really awful, fun to watch with your friends when you're drunk or some bullshit. But like, there's some movies that have come out recently that are like, whoa, dude, these are like some, like The Babadook, Hereditary. I thought The Witch got a little bit of hate, but I really liked The Witch. I thought The Witch was really good. Midsommar, again, Midsommar is not as good as Hereditary, but was still really good. You know, I thought Oculus was really great. That TV show Haunting of Hill House was incredibly good. I really I'm looking forward to seeing Doctor Sleep whenever that's gonna be able to rent. I hear that was really great. you know, there's so many really great horror movies that come out, and, you know, if you're closed, I mean, I kind of get not wanting to watch a horror film, because you just don't, people just don't like to be scared, which, fine, whatever. But I mean, like, again, like, you get a film like The Babadook, like, that's a really meaningful film, and it's not a horror, it's a lot more than a horror film. That film is about something more than just scary shit, you know? Like, like, it's not a monster movie. The Babadook is not a fucking monster movie. It's, like, The Babadook is a metaphor for depression and loss. Like, that's what The Babadook is. You know, look deeper. Like, look into the film. Like, actually watch it. Be an active watcher. But, anyway. Yeah, you know, like, again, if I wasn't so open-minded, I would not be talking about fucking these really great stories that have inspired me, you know. Like, one of my favorite stories, like, probably my favorite story of all time, there was no way, if someone would tell you, like, no, this is gonna be, you're gonna like this even more than Star Wars, I would tell you, go fuck yourself. But yeah, like, again, it was around the same time, like, I got off of Attack on Titan, and I was just kind of itching for, like, something else, because it was back when there was only one season available on Netflix, so I'm just like, I'm itching for something else, like, what else is there that I could, you know, really check out? And then I saw this, like, film, this movie, and it was called Berserk, and I was like, okay, well, this looks interesting. There's knights, and there's some dude with weird white fucking hair and cool armor. And I watched it. I was like, oh, that was really cool. That was really good. Very violent, but I dug it. I mean, for sure dug it. I kind of like the world. It reminds me of Game of Thrones a little bit. I'm kind of into this shit. And then I'm like, but, like, it was just the first one. It was just one of those first, that first animated feature on Netflix. And then I found out, oh, that's not the whole, I mean, I didn't think it was going to be the whole story, because it, like, ends. I'm like, oh, there's got to be more to this story. And I looked into it, and there was, and I found out there was an animated series that came out in the 90s. And then I watched that, and then I was emotionally devastated after watching that. And if you've ever seen that 90s TV show called Berserk, and you know about the ending, and yeah, it, like, emotionally scars you for life. And I'm like, there's got to be, I mean, it, again, that whole first season, I was just like, that was an incredible experience. I loved every single second of it. It's just the way, like, the ending is just, I mean, it's a great ending, but it's also a shitty ending at the same time, because there's only one season of it. And it's like, the ending, like, tells you, just like, oh, yeah, this is where the anime ends. And then I found out, it's like, oh, okay, this is an actual Japanese comic series, which they called manga. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then a couple years went by, and I rewatched the actual movies, like, all three of the animated features, and then it still ends with that kind of shitty fucking, oh my god, this is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen type of ending, which isn't a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Like, it's not, I'm making it seem like it has a shitty ending. It doesn't. It's just very emotionally devastating. Like, think, if you've ever seen Game of Thrones, think of the Red Wedding, and then multiply that by 10. That's how bad it is. But, yeah, so, and then I'm like, okay, this is a manga series. All right, well, I really want to experience this, because I really love the series, and I love the movies. Let me get the manga, because I hear, you know, online, the definitive way to experience Berserk is reading the manga. And let me tell you, I'm reading the manga now, and I have been for a while, because the manga series started in, I think, 1988, and it's still ongoing today. So it's really long. There's a lot of backlog, and I'm still going through it. But I'll tell you right now, it's probably the best story I've ever experienced. I would say this, then probably Mass Effect, and then Star Wars for me. Like, Mass Effect is something else that was really special, and that I discovered at a really pivotal moment in my life. So, sorry if I keep popping, using my P words. I just saw an audio spike, but yeah, again, Berserk is one of my favorite series of all time, and I'm sure I'll be talking about it on this podcast in a future episode, and probably in a, you know, a type of episode that I'm gonna be hopefully doing. But again, that I want to be able to film and record with my camera before I do that. But same with probably Mass Effect as well. But again, like I wouldn't have found that special story if I wasn't so open-minded. Like I just, you know, like having something, like giving something a chance and then really loving it, and then that just completely opens your mind and unleashes all these possibilities. And that just, this is just good life advice in general, you know, like be open to stuff, and then you'll get into it. Like I used to think like soccer was really stupid, and I'm always like American football and baseball fan. That was my two sports, and I like basketball too. And again, I opened my mind to basketball as well. You know, people shit on the NBA, but I mean, it's like, it's kind of interesting. I like watching the NBA because these peak, you know, athletes. Yeah, I mean, everyone says like, well, there's no defense. I'm like, yeah, there is, but these guys are so good that they're just making everything because they're professional basketball players. And like soccer is really cool too. You know, the Premier League is real. I follow the Premier League and I really like that. And I never thought I would, you know, but I, again, just being open-minded, and that's just, that goes with everything, that goes with people as well, you know, just because something's different to whatever you view as fucking normal, I mean, what does that even word even mean anyway? But just because you think it's abnormal doesn't mean that it's wrong, you know? And if it's different, doesn't mean that you're not going to like it. Like, you might. You just have to give it a shot. Give it a chance. And that's just what entertainment's about. Like, discovering new things and then experiencing new stories that you never thought you would ever be into. And that's what I love about entertainment. That's what I love about video games and fucking whatever, you know, movies, especially movies. Like, I will literally watch any type of film. I will watch anything, literally anything. And I'll probably try to find something good about it that I'll enjoy. I mean, some stuff, maybe not. You know, hopefully in this podcast, I don't have to talk about anything that, you know, really disappointed me. I mean, again, I can probably go at length about the Star Wars movies, but I'm not going to, because that was a previous episode, even though that episode's really fucking shitty. But it's still there. I'm sure I'll probably end up talking about it again sometime. I mean, I'm like a really big Star Wars fan, but I mean, again, it's kind of being relegated a little bit because of these newer films. But again, they're kind of rebounding with Jedi the Fallen Order and The Mandalorian. So we'll see about that. But anyway, yeah, just keep your mind open, guys. Give things a chance. Just because you think you're not going to like something doesn't mean you're not actually not going to like it. Just give it a shot. And you don't like it, then you don't like it. I mean, what do you got to lose? Some of your time? Okay, fine. But I mean, I think the rewards are a lot more than, like you're making a really, it's a calculated risk, because like finding something that you absolutely love is worth the time that it takes for you to like try something new and you to not like it. You know, and I'm trying to lose my words again. I'm kind of trying to finish this segment, I guess. But yeah, just keep an open mind, guys. And that just goes for not only entertainment, but for life itself. And, you know, with that, I kind of want to end on just my episodic message. That is, you know, it's okay to not feel okay and to be able to just deal with problems and not let your problems take over you. You know what I'm saying? Don't become your problems. Don't let your problems become you. Use your problems for personal growth. I mean, of course, you know, some problems can be absolutely devastating and unrecoverable, but I mean, mostly all of them can. And it's, you know, just because today really sucks doesn't mean tomorrow is going to be really, really shitty. So there's always tomorrow. You know, surround yourself with people that care about you and that are willing to talk to you about real stuff and help you just become a better person, and that's how you become happy. I mean, not become happy. I mean, what is even happiness at that point? I mean, it's whatever happiness is to you, but that's another whole fucking podcast if you would want to talk about that shit. But I mean, I want to keep this short. So, you know, it's okay to be going through rough times, because honestly, that's kind of where personal growth happens. That's where you become a better person. But you have to let that make you a better person. You have to let it help you develop. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that. So, yeah, with that, guys, I mean, that's kind of it's the end of the episode. That's the end. Again, I'm sorry about, you know, this being delayed and everything. And, you know, it's kind of a big transitional period in my life. You know, I moved out of the house. You know, I flew away from the nest. You know, going to be living in an apartment for a bit. I'm trying to set up, hopefully, a set here to actually record, so I can be able to record here. Again, I would appreciate, you know, download my podcast, leave me a review, rate on iTunes or whatever the fuck you can rate me on them. Get them available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Will be available on YouTube once I actually get my actual recording set up. So, I'm hopefully going to be making it a pretty nice setup. I definitely have the room, so we'll see. Hopefully this mic sounds a lot better, a little bit more professional type of microphone. I mean, it's still a USB mic, but it's like one of the most, I think it's I've heard it's the best USB mic that you could get. I think it's probably the most expensive USB mic, but I mean, again, it's not that incredibly pricey, but it's really nice. I think it's already better. You know, I can always I can move around a little bit more, and hopefully the popping stuff, you know, my P words, you know, it's not as, you know, obnoxious as, you know, the rest of like using my past mic. So we'll see about the future. With that, guys, thanks for tuning in again. I appreciate everyone, all you that are listening. I know there's probably not a lot of you guys, but I appreciate all you nonetheless. And yeah, with that, I'll see you guys on the next episode of Nerd Out Sanctuary. Thanks, guys. I'll see you. Have a good week, good day, whatever the fuck. Bye.